In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. If you think about it, there are literally hundreds of names and titles that are ascribed to Jesus Christ in the pages of the Old and New Testaments. For instance, he is described as the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's called the Lion of Judah, the Son of David, the Son of Man, the Son of God, the second Adam, the chief cornerstone, the root of Jesse, the bright and morning star, the bread of life, the light of the world, the way, the truth, the life, the true vine, the author and perfecter of our faith, the firstborn of the dead, our great high priest, the friend of sinners, and the list goes on and on. It's a veritable plethora of names. And yet it's probably safe to say that of all these names and titles, and yes, there are plenty of them, none is more beloved by Christian men and women than the one we have before us today. This image of Jesus Christ as the Good Shepherd. In fact, one of the very earliest pieces of Christian artwork, a statue discovered in the catacombs and now on display at the Lateran Museum in Rome, depicts Jesus in just this way, as a shepherd carrying home a lost sheep. It would seem to those early believers in Rome who were facing intense persecution for their faith and who were forced literally underground, it was this image in particular that gave them courage and strength. It was this image above all others that reminded them that even in the midst of their affliction and weakness, they were not alone, for it was their good shepherd who was watching over them. It was their good shepherd who would one day pick them up and bring them home. And my friends, what was true for those early believers in Rome remains true for Christians today. This is a beloved image. I can tell you after nearly 30 years in ministry that if there is only one picture on display in the children's Sunday school wing, it is going to be a picture of Jesus as the shepherd with a lamb draped around his neck. And if there is only one psalm on the lips of a dying man or woman, it will inevitably be the 23rd psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. And frankly, that's the way it should be. For when Jesus gave us this image, he intended it to be taken as a source of comfort and encouragement to his followers, especially in times of difficulty and loss. And that's why today, on this Good Shepherd Sunday, as it's called, I want us to take a closer look at this beloved image, this image of Jesus as the shepherd, especially as John presents it to us here in chapter 10. And we need to begin, first and foremost, by acknowledging the heavy burden that Jesus said is placed upon the shoulders of the Good Shepherd. You know, most of us have a rather romantic view of shepherding. I suppose this is due to the fact that if we've seen shepherds at work, it's generally in rather bucolic settings like Scotland or Ireland. Or perhaps we have seen television specials or read books like James Herriot's All Creatures Great and Small. And the result is that we've come away with this rather romantic picture. We think, oh, isn't shepherding just a wonderful life? We picture in our mind's eye a scene right out of a Hudson River School painting, complete with those lush green hills, the dutiful sheepdog and his master, and of course those lovely, fluffy, docile white sheep. But you need to understand that in Jesus' day, in the first century, in the Middle East, shepherding was anything but a romantic calling. It was actually a rough, dirty, and at times very dangerous business. In fact, it was just about the worst job that anyone could possibly have. Shepherds were at the very bottom of the social ladder. If a family was too poor in order to hire a shepherd to watch over their flocks, it was always the youngest son who got the dirty job. And let me tell you something, it was dirty. We may sing, Mary had a little lamb, its fleece was white as snow. But whoever wrote that little ditty never spent any appreciable time around sheep. Because they're not white as snow, they are not clean, they're absolutely filthy. Now, I'm not going to describe it in detail. You can use your own imagination and try to imagine the sorts of things that sheep roll around in. But I've been to this part of the world, and I've seen these animals, and I can tell you that a sheep's fleece is absolutely foul. It's only after they are sheared that their wool gets cleaned and sanitized. Otherwise, they're dirty animals, and they stink to high heaven. Sheep are also helpless creatures. Left to themselves, they'll wander off and get into all kinds of mischief. They'll tumble into gullies, they'll fall off cliffs, they'll wander away from the fold, they'll eat poisonous roots and stalks, and this means that the shepherd has to watch over the sheep day and night. Sheep are also defenseless creatures. Whenever a predator comes, and of course predators always come at night when everybody else is asleep, it is the shepherd who has to be alert. It's the shepherd who has to be vigilant. It's the shepherd who has to watch over the sheep and protect them, sometimes at the risk of his very own life. Moreover, in Jesus' day, shepherds were not highly regarded members of society. They were actually looked upon as a somewhat disreputable lot. Shepherds weren't even permitted to give testimony in a court of law. Now, that wasn't because all shepherds were dishonest or bad, although some of them certainly were. But really, the problem had to do with the fact that because the shepherd had to work 7 days a week, day and night, he really couldn't participate in any religious activities. Shepherd couldn't go up to the synagogue to hear the law read. Shepherd couldn't go into the temple in order to participate in the sacrifices. And so as a result, most people viewed shepherds as irreligious outcasts. A romantic calling? Hardly. Nothing could be further from the truth. Being a shepherd in the first century was a tough and thankless job. And yet that's what makes this image that we have before us today so powerful. For what do we find here in today's gospel lesson? We find the Lord Jesus Christ likening himself to a shepherd. That's to say, we find Jesus humbling himself. We find Jesus condescending, coming down, and taking on the role, the job that nobody else wanted. Now, why would Jesus do that? Well, he tells us why. It's because, he says, he loves the sheep. Think about that. Jesus loves these dirty, helpless, hapless creatures. That's really quite extraordinary. And the more you think about it, the more extraordinary it becomes. Because, of course, we're to understand that we are the sheep in this image. He is the shepherd, and we are the sheep. Now, given what I've just said, some of you may be thinking to yourself, well, that's not an altogether complimentary picture of the human condition. Some of you may even be offended by the idea of being described as a sheep. But you need to understand, this is how the Lord sees us. What's more, this is how the Bible describes us. I said a moment ago that sheep are filthy creatures. Well, the Bible says that you and I are filthy because of the sin in our lives. The prophet Isaiah says we have all become unclean, and even our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. I said that sheep are defenseless creatures, prey to predators of all sorts. Well, the apostle Peter says that our adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. I said that sheep, left to their own devices, will wander off and get into all kinds of mischief. Well, here again, the prophet Isaiah says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have each turned to his own way. Like it or not, this is exactly how God sees us, and this is exactly how the Bible describes us. And yet, the good news, the wonderful news this morning, is that there is one who has voluntarily agreed to come down and be our shepherd. There is one who has agreed to watch over us, to care for us, to provide for us. And our good shepherd is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The hymn we sang just a moment ago put it beautifully. The King of love, my shepherd is, his goodness faileth never. I nothing lack if I am his, and he is mine forever. Yes, it is a burdensome task that Jesus says the good shepherd takes on in order to care for the sheep. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. Jesus said it's not just a burdensome task that the shepherd has to bear. The good shepherd actually does something far more heroic than that. The good shepherd actually lays down his life for the sheep. Beginning in verse 11, we read these words. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus says two things in this section that are vitally important. First of all, he says the good shepherd knows his sheep, and he calls them by name. He knows his sheep, and he calls them by name. In Europe today, shepherds raise sheep primarily for food, for the restaurant industry. Lamb is a delicacy in many parts of Europe. But in Jesus' day, shepherds did not raise their sheep for food. They raised their sheep for wool. The sheep would graze, and they would grow these thick mats of fleece, which could then be sheared off and sold for a considerable amount of money. Remember, this is the way most people were clothed in the first century, in wools. And this meant that the larger your flock, the more ability you had to make money. It also meant that if a shepherd lost even one sheep, it was a great loss, not only in terms of revenue, but also in terms of his ability to make more sheep. Consequently, shepherds in Jesus' day invested a great deal of time, energy, and care when it came to their animals. As I said, they would watch over them. They would provide for them. They would protect them. When they became sick, they would literally nurse them back to health. And because they spent so much time with the sheep, they knew the sheep. They knew them individually. They knew their patterns, their behaviors, their attitudes, their personalities. They even were able to name the sheep by name. Now, this was especially important if ever a shepherd was leading his sheep into town in order to buy provisions or supplies. You couldn't leave the sheep out in the field, so you had to take them with you into town. But there was no place to tie up the sheep. So you drove them into the center of town where there was a stone corral, and you would put the sheep in there for the night. But the problem was that the sheep would get mixed in with the sheep from other flocks. When morning came and the shepherd was ready to leave town, he would go to the corral and he would literally call the sheep out by name. And because the sheep had spent so much time with the shepherd, they recognized his voice. And it was his voice alone that they would follow. Well, that's what Jesus is alluding to here in this passage when he says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I call them by name. Jesus is saying that the good shepherd knows his sheep, and he knows them individually. Just think about all those times in the Gospels when Jesus actually called people by name to follow him. Think about Matthew or Levi, the tax collector, who was sitting at his booth collecting funds. And we're told that Jesus came upon him and called out to him. He said, Matthew, come follow me. And we're told that when Matthew heard his name and heard that voice, he left his tax collecting booth and he followed Jesus and became a disciple. Or how about Zacchaeus, that wee little man who scurried up into the sycamore tree in order to catch a glimpse of Christ as he passed by? We're told that when Jesus saw him up there in his perch, he called out to him, Zacchaeus, you come down. I'm going to stay at your house today. And when Zacchaeus heard his name, we're told he scurried down and he received the Lord joyfully. Or how about Lazarus? John's gospel says that Lazarus had been in the grave for 4 days. His body had already started to decompose. And yet, when the Lord of life appeared there at the entrance to that tomb and called out, Lazarus, come forth, we're told that the dead man, when he heard his voice, was raised and he came out. Or how about my favorite? Mary Magdalene. It was Easter morning. She was standing at the mouth of the empty tomb. The body was gone. She assumed somebody had taken it. All was lost. And all of a sudden, Jesus appeared to her. She thought he was the gardener, however. Until what? Until he spoke her name. He said, Mary. And we're told that when she heard that familiar voice, the voice of her good shepherd, she immediately turned to him and exclaimed, Rabbi. You see, all of these were lost sheep, but they were sheep that had been given by the Father into the hand of the Son. He knew them. He knew them as individuals. He knew them by name. And when he called out to them, they followed. Well, here's a question for you this morning. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever heard the Good Shepherd call you by name? Call you to come out and follow him? Because that's what it means to be a Christian. Now, there may be someone sitting out there today thinking to themselves, oh, I don't think he would ever call me. I don't think that Jesus would ever call me to be a member of his flock. If Jesus knew, if the Good Shepherd knew all of the things that I have done, if he knew my sordid past, all the things that I've done in secret, the things that I've looked at on the internet, or the things that I've done in the quiet of my own room, if he knew all my secrets, all the skeletons in my closet, there is no way that the Good Shepherd would ever call me if he knew me. But my friends, that's just the point. He does know you. He knows you better than you know yourself. He is the one unto whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and the one from whom no secrets are hid. He knows the sheep. Bishop Brookfoss Westcott, who was one of the great bishops of Durham, put it this way, he said, as it is, nothing in Christ's flock is hidden from the Good Shepherd. Their weaknesses, their failures, their temptations, their sins, the good which they have neglected to do when it was within their reach, and the evil they have pursued even when it was far off, all this is open before the eyes of the Good Shepherd. He knows the sheep better than they know themselves. And yet he loves these lambs still. You know, when you stop and think about it, that is just about the most liberating thought in the world. To be fully known with all your flaws, your faults, your foibles, and yet to be fully loved in spite of it. This is the distinguishing mark, or at least one of the distinguishing marks of Christianity. Most of us, no, all of us, put on a mask. We play a part. We pretend to be something other than what we are. And we do that because we are deathly afraid that if anybody really knew us for who we really are, they wouldn't love us, they wouldn't like us, they wouldn't even respect us. But this is why Christianity is different. Christianity doesn't have a God that says, you better get your act together, you better sort yourself out, or I am not going to love you. Now, some of us may have had parents like that. Parents who said, you better do it exactly as you should, or I'm not going to love you. But you need to understand, that is not the Christian God. The Christian God says, I do know you. I know everything about you. Nothing is hidden from me, and I still love you. And if you will heed my voice and you will follow me, I will take you. I will transform you. I will sort you out. I will make you into something beautiful. That's the first thing that Jesus says here that we need to note. He says, the good shepherd knows the sheep. And he calls them by name. But here's the second thing that Jesus said that's very important. He says, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I said earlier that being a shepherd in the ancient world was a rough, dirty, and at times very dangerous business, and indeed it could be dangerous. David in the Old Testament talks about having to defend his father's flocks against all kinds of wild animals and beasts, lions and bears, and he said that on occasion, sometimes even the predator would turn on him and he would have to slay it. The point being that when it comes to the safety, the well-being, the salvation of the sheep, there are times when a shepherd's life is forfeit. Karl Barth, the great Swiss theologian of the 20th century, probably the most influential theologian of the 20th century, was once asked this question. What is the most important word in the entire Bible? And Bart bowed his head and thought for a moment, and then he looked up and he said, the most important word in the entire Bible is huper. Huper. Huper is a Greek word. Actually, it's a preposition. It means on behalf of or in place of. It is the word that is translated in today's text for. The good shepherd lays down his life, huper, for the sheep, on behalf of the sheep, in place of the sheep. When Bart answered in that way, he was reminding us that at the heart of the Christian gospel, at the heart of the Christian message, is the claim that the good shepherd lays down his life on our behalf, in our place, for us. You understand, that is why the cross is the central symbol of the Christian faith. You understand, that's why it's so precious to Christians. It's because there on the cross, on the tree, Christ Jesus, the Son of God, the Good Shepherd, gives his life, huper, for us, in place of us, on our behalf, that you and I might be delivered from all of those predators that would seek to destroy us, from sin, death, judgment, hell, damnation. The good shepherd giving his life in place of you and in place of me. What an amazing claim that the shepherd would give his life for the sheep. This is what Robert Robertson was getting at when he wrote these words. Jesus sought me when a stranger wandering from the fold of God, he to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. So who is this good shepherd? The good shepherd is the one who takes on this burdensome task of caring for these dirty, helpless, hapless sheep. The good shepherd is the one who knows his sheep, who invests in his sheep, who calls them by name. The good shepherd is the one who lays down his life on behalf of, for the sheep. And he does it all why? So that the sheep might flourish. Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly. Abundant life. That's what the Good Shepherd offers to his sheep, a full life. Well, what is this abundant life of which the Good Shepherd speaks? Well, it's not necessarily a long life. Christian history is filled with people who died in their prime, good people, young people like Jim Elliot, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the Lord Jesus himself. And no, the abundant life is not the same thing as a trouble-free life either. Actually, Jesus said if you follow him, you're in for real trouble. He said in this life you'll have tribulation. And no, the abundant life is not necessarily a sickness-free life either, although that's what many people want these days. Many of the saints have been afflicted with diseases and illnesses. I think about the Apostle Paul and his thorn in the flesh. No, the abundant life which the shepherd offers to his sheep is the contented life. It is the peace-filled life. It is the contented, peace-filled life that comes from the knowledge that no matter what may happen to you, no matter what may come into your life, what disasters or tragedies or disappointments, you are not alone. There is a good shepherd who is watching over you. There is a good shepherd who cares for you. There is a good shepherd who loves you. And there is a good shepherd who will one day lead you to pastures green and to waters still. And yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are not alone, for he is with you. And one day he will lead you to that place where you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That is the contented life that the shepherd offers to his sheep. Which leaves only one question remaining this morning, and the question is this. Are you a sheep of his fold? Are you a lamb of his redeeming? Have you heard him call you by name? Some of you know that you have. Some of you are sitting out there today and you're not sure. Well, I want you to understand through the preaching of this word, through this morning's text, the Good Shepherd is calling to you today. He is calling to you by name, whatever your name is. Jim, Robin, Claire, whatever it is, the Good Shepherd is calling out to you this morning, and he is saying, come, follow me. Come, follow me. Be a part of my flock. Let me be your shepherd. Let me lead you home. Perverse and foolish, oft I strayed, and yet in love he sought me, and on his shoulders gently bared, and home rejoicing brought me. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise that your Son, Jesus Christ, humbled himself and took on the role of being our shepherd. A thankless task, a dirty task, a costly task. Grant us the grace this morning to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd calling out to us, and give us the courage to leave behind worldly desires and pleasures and follow after our Good Shepherd, until he safely leads us home. For we ask it in his name. Amen.